to us there is but one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we in Him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by Him. There is one body, one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. Call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your Father, which is in heaven. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you for the Lord's day, that we can come and assemble and worship you. We thank you, Father, that we can have a personal relationship with you through Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father, that we can call you Father. We just praise you for your wonderful works that we experience in this life. We praise you, Father, for your grace and mercy. We praise you for the many ways that you bless us and train us and direct our steps. We pray as we gather here this morning that Father, that you would be in the thoughts and in the words that are spoken, that your Spirit would teach us. We pray, Lord, that all things would be according to your will, and that you would be honored and glorified above all. In Jesus' name, amen. I read you several verses. One of the things that is in common in all of these verses is the term Father, specifically in reference to our Father in heaven. You ever wonder why, and what is the significance of calling God our Father? It's a wonderful thing that we are permitted to think of God as our Father. Turn to Romans in chapter 8. In the book of Romans, in chapter 8 and verse 14, the Bible says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." Whereby we cry, Abba, Father. We have the right. We have the position of children of the Heavenly Father. Why does the Bible draw this parallel, this likeness, to something that we know in this life? We can kind of grasp the relationship of a child to a father. And it just struck me this week to be very, very interesting, and maybe we don't dwell on this enough, that God allows this likeness, this type, to be in the Bible and so prevalent, that He is our Father. How is my relationship with my Father? And yes, the physical, earthly Father, that's important too. But how is my relationship with Father God? I get the sense, I get the hint that maybe my relationship with Father God needs to be as personal as what my relationship with Marvin Huffman is. What other point would there be of having this parallel, of having this example, this type of the privilege of calling God our Father, if it wasn't for it to be a personal thing? The Bible says in Matthew 7 and verse 11, If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good gifts to them that ask Him? So the parallel is drawn. We have a relationship with our Father in heaven that is similar and somewhat type to our relationship with our Father on earth. And the Bible says, if your Father on earth knows how to be good to you, multiply that by how much bigger, better, more powerful God the Father is, and what kind of good He can do to you, for you, with you. I have this image in my mind. Those of us that are parents can relate very directly to this. I don't sit down very much at home. But when I do, chances are it won't be long and there'll be a child climbing into my lap. It's something very natural. They especially the girls, they want to sit in Dad's lap. That's what fatherhood is about. The child wants to feel Dad's arms around them. The child wants to feel that protection, that safety. The child yearns for that relationship in Daddy's arms. There are many things written about Daddy's arms, Daddy's hands. As adults, we grow cold to this. We grow away from this, and we grow up, well, I'm my own man now. I don't need Daddy's arms. The Bible says that we're like children with a Father in heaven. This image in my mind is what happened yesterday. Eleanor curled up in my arms and just sat there, just to be with Daddy. She had a few things to talk about. Didn't mean nothing to me, but meant something to her. Wanted to tell Daddy about this and that. She just wanted to be with her Father. And I find in my life that my relationship with my Father in heaven's not quite like that. Not near as often and as much as it should be. I find myself, and this is the chapter that came to mind, Psalm 73, if you would please turn there. I find myself feeling like this writer of Psalm 73. The top of the chapter in my Bible, it says that the prophet, prevailing in a temptation, he shows the occasion thereof. In specific, this chapter is dealing with a temptation or the prophet asking the question, why am I serving the Lord? Why do I do all this? Is it for naught? But this chapter, to me, it applied in this sense that as a child of God, and God being my Father, I just read into this chapter that I've grown so busy with everything going on not just in this life, but also with serving the Lord and everything that in for me that is incorporated into that term of serving the Lord. And my relationship has with God has grown not wrong, but professional instead of personal. Let's read this chapter, Psalm 73. Truly, God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. I was envious at the foolish, even when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. There are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore pride compasseth them about as a chain, violence covereth them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness, they have more than heart could wish, they are corrupt. Speak wickedly concerning oppression, they speak loftily, they set their mouth against the heavens, their tongue walketh through the heart. Therefore that his people return hither, and waters of a full cup are wrung out to them. And they say, how doth God know, and is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world, they increase in riches. Verily I have cleansed my heart in vain, and washed my hands in innocency. For all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. If I say I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me, until I went into the sanctuary of God, and then I understood their end. Surely thou didst set them in slippery places, thou castest them down into destruction. How are they brought into desolation, as in a moment they are utterly consumed with terrors. As a dream, when one awaketh, so, O Lord, when thou awakest, thou shalt despise their image. Thus my heart was grieved, and I was pricked in my reins. So foolish was I, and ignorant I was as a beast before thee. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by thy right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For lo, they that are far from thee shall perish. Thou hast destroyed all them that go a-whoring from thee. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, my Father. I just felt like this psalm, the writer is so busy. Yes, he's jealous of the success of the wicked in this life in particular. But in type, he's so busy serving the Lord that he forgot why he's serving the Lord, and it seemed to be all for naught. He asks, why? Why am I serving? And the answer that I feel that is there is he forgot about his relationship as a child to the Father. He had grown professional in his service and forgot the personal. He left it behind. I find myself doing this pretty often, way more often than I would like. The Bible says he's my Father. Yes, he's the God Almighty. The creator of the universe deserves reverence, deserves servitude, deserves submission. Yes, he does. I don't mean to downplay that. But I don't believe that because of the type of the Father and the child, that's where our service stops. I believe we should desire, I believe God desires a more personal relationship In Psalm 73, the writer got so busy going through the motions, doing all the right things, doing what I'm supposed to do. He was not doing anything bad, but his relationship began to be professional and not personal. It was at arm's length. It was not near. The last verse of the chapter says, "It is good for me to draw near to God, crawl up in His lap, communicate, even if it's somewhat senseless jabber." Eleanor talks to me about the silliest stuff. Sometimes it's not even logical. Our Father's there just to listen. I mean, He'll listen. I believe as the writer gets to the end of this chapter and he says it's good for me to draw near to God, he's realizing that he needs to spend a little bit of time in the Father's lap, just communicating with the Lord, just rejoicing in his heart for what the Lord's done for him, cultivating that father-son relationship. In Isaiah chapter 29, I thought I had that marked. There we go. And in verse 13. Verse 13 of chapter 29. "Wherefore the Lord said, for as much as this people draw near to me with their mouth, and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men." Sometimes my fear of the Lord, my love for the Lord, is taught by precept of men. And my heart is far from the lap of the Father. I believe we need to hit the middle of the road on this. I believe we need a personal relationship with the Father that's just like our relationship with our earthly father as a child. A child can tell the father things, hopefully, that they wouldn't tell anybody else. The father is there to support, forgive, exhort, strengthen, sometimes just be the shoulder to cry on and the arm to comfort. Turn to 1 John chapter 2. As I studied this this week, I there was way too much. And I apologize for the jumping around, but 1 John chapter 2 in verse 1. "My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous." We have the right through Christ to crawl up into our Father's lap, to cuddle a little bit, to get things right, bask in His affection. Be revived by His warmth, strengthened by His power, comforted by His sovereignty. In chapter 3 of 1 John and verse 1, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Behold, what manner of love. Why are we so afraid sometimes of the Father? Why are we so intimidated by his power that it prevents us from crawling into his lap and communing with him in a very personal and one-on-one basis? Because our relationship has grown professional. We're doing all the right things, going through the motions. Turn to James in chapter 4. James chapter 4 and verse 8. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Draw nigh to God. In verse 10, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. You know, we're accountable for our actions in this life. We have a duty to serve the Lord. That's true. Technically, that's true. And we go through those motions, and we do that, we've achieved the professional relationship. What about personal communion? What about a friendship relationship, a heart-to-heart? What about a connection that is deeper than minimum compliance? I don't know which one comes first. They're both there. My love for the Lord will never equal his love for me. Never. But my motivation for serving the Lord needs to come out of my love for him, not my duty and minimum compliance. Why do I go to church? Don't say because I have to. I want to. I want to feed my love for the Lord. I want to grow that love. I want to serve out of love, not out of duty. I want to be the child of the Father and do as he leads out of love. I thought of this. If our relationship with the Father has grown professional, it's kind of like the king in the book of Esther, where we fear to approach him for fear of judgment. We neglect the personal contact due to professional positioning. You know, the Bible says if we confess our sin, He's faithful and just, right? He'll forgive us. He's faithful and just. And He forgives us not because we confessed, but because Christ paid for it. You see that? We are duty-bound to confess, yes. But that's not why we're forgiven. We're forgiven because of Christ. As our relationship with the Lord, Father God, becomes too much professional and not enough personal, I believe we're less likely to confess or communicate our faults, our flesh weaknesses with Him. And if and when we do, we go through the motion of, Father, forgive me, whatever, whatever. Okay. I did it. I confessed. Somehow that doesn't type with the image in my mind of crawling into the Father's lap, hurt over my sin, confessing, expecting His arm, His hand, His gentleness, His forgiveness. Our confession, I believe, it needs to originate in our love for the Father, not in our duty or accountability bondage to an awesome, sovereign King and Creator of the universe. Hit the middle of the road on this. Confession needs to originate in our love. Being in a right relationship with God the Father needs to be motivated by our love. If we always focus on the blinding majesty of God, I'm afraid we're missing out on some of the pity of the Father, the comfort, reassurance of a child in His arms. In Psalms 103, in Psalms 103 and in verse 13, like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him, for He knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall it know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear Him, and His righteousness unto children's children. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. So many times we get kind of stuck on the discipline factor of the Father. And all that is rightly so. But this verse says the Lord pitieth. The Lord pitieth His children. He cares. It's not just about discipline and correction. It's about a personal relationship. I think it's significant that in Matthew 6 and chapter 9, after this manner, therefore pray ye, dear Lord, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. That's the pattern of prayer given by Jesus Himself. Our Father. Romans 8. Romans 8 and chapter 8 and verse 37. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded, neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God. God the Father, crawl up into the lap of God the Father. Tell Him your troubles. Commune with Him. Tell Him about the silly things that you were thinking today. Spend some time with God the Father. As I thought about that, I thought, how do I do this? I want to. How? It means stopping for a minute. Maybe a few minutes. You might even say it's gonna take a little bit of effort. Probably for most of us, I would think it probably needs to be daily. And I don't do this good enough. Spend some time with God the Father. Read His Word. Meditate. Pray. Not necessarily in that order. Take a few minutes out. Read some stuff. Listen to preaching. Psalm chapter 3 came up in my study time. And this entire chapter here is rather short, and we need to read it all, but verse 3 through 6 is really, really where I felt was speaking to me. As I think about the child in the arms of the Father, I think, but Thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, the lifter up of mine head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice. He heard me out of His holy hill. I laid me down and slept. I awaked, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. Just think of how, if we could face every day in our life, starting out in the lap of the Father, telling Him some of our troubles, and taking these three verses as the reassurance and the description of the feeling we get of spending a little bit of time in the lap of our Father, communing with Him. Safe in the arms. There's a lot of types of the children-father relationship that fits our Heavenly Father relationship with us. Safe in the arms. The forgiveness. The love. Especially with the younger children, it just astounds me how deep their trust is when they're in Daddy's arms. They don't worry about falling. They don't worry about what they're going to get to eat. They don't worry about protection. To have that kind of relationship with our Heavenly Father. I want that. I want that. I believe God will give that relationship to us. I believe He'll bless us with all of that. But you know, Eleanor doesn't get that when she's over playing in the yard somewhere. She gets it when she comes up to me and crawls in my lap. I hope this has made some little bit of sense. I believe it's clear in the Bible that God is our Father. I believe life gets busy and we tend to go into survival mode, doing our duty, being diligent, and our relationship begins to be professional instead of personal with God the Father. So take Father's Day and remind yourself